Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from chilly North Carolina in a surprise drop in weather. I know those in Louisiana, it's getting hot, but for some reason not here in North Carolina. And hopefully everyone had a great weekend, a relaxing weekend, or able to spend some time with friends and family celebrating Mother's Day and just being with those whom we love and honoring our mothers for giving us life, raising us, and even just honoring them for being our mothers, no matter the type of relationship that we have with our mothers. And today I want to go really high level on some things as we see the administration come out with some plans that we've been forewarned about, and obviously the case involving the leaked Supreme Court justice opinion on the Mississippi Dodd case of pro-life and the response of that, and then lean into what will be coming this week. And first, we want to continue our study of the night watches, and today we start as we pick up of understanding the midnight watch of this night watch of Thanksgiving. If we are awakened because we haven't released those anxieties to the Lord, or just because we've awakened, maybe the Lord needs to have us unload something and just praise Him during that watch. And I want to start off in Exodus 11. I think I briefly mentioned it on Friday about how as the Israelites were leaving Egypt, the final the Passover, where you saw the 10 plagues, the last plague in Exodus 11 talks, it gives a definitive timeline from Moses as he goes before Pharaoh. And we start in, I'll start in verse 1, but I want to highlight verse 4 is, we start off in the last plague. Now the Lord said to Moses, one more plague and I will bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out from here completely. Speaking of Pharaoh, speak now in the hearing of the people that each man asks for from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor for articles of silver and articles of gold. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Furthermore, the man Moses himself was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Now, just a brief commentary there of think about the strategy and the favor that you have to have as you've been enslaved by someone for so long. And then as you're leaving, you, as the plague has come, you know, disaster, you're asking for, hey, can I have something? Can I have silver and gold? Something that would actually be of value even now. I mean, the strategy that the Lord gives them is just very interesting, to say the least. Now, verse 4 is where I want to highlight. We go here and it says, Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight. Again, midnight. We're talking about the midnight watch here, or the midnight, you know, wordplay there. I'm going out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, even the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstones, all the firstborn of the cattle as well. He goes on to say, moreover, there shall be a great cry in all the land of Egypt, such as there has not been before, and such shall never be again. But against any sons of Israel, a dog will not even bark, whether against man or beast, that you may understand how the Lord God makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. And this is very key for us to remind ourselves of in this season of where there is great calamity, there could also be great triumph and a peace as we walk this out of being in the timeline of the Lord throughout our day. No matter what's going on in the world, we can continue to be at that place of peace with the Lord as we walk in that relationship with Him. And the prayer point Chuck points out in this is that as we pray during this watch, expect the Lord to intervene on your behalf and to deliver you, as you see here. And it goes on in 11 to talk about how this was about not only the Egyptians, but the Israelites who were leaving and going out into the wilderness, into the promised land, of knowing and reminding them that the Lord is the creator of the universe. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lion and the Lamb. He is all that above that Revelations talks about. And so we can remind ourselves in this season that no matter what's happening, the Lord can provide a way out for us, as He has to the Israelites coming out of Egypt in a time of complete slavery. And he can provide the resources that you need, the silver and gold, in the coming season to advance you and to propel you into the promised land that you're coming into, that the Lord has for you in the days ahead. All right. Now with that, I talked about how I wanted to go high level on the news, and I will do that. And so we want to first talk about some international news, and then I'll come back and deal with some domestic stuff, as I think some things are very key and important that we understand. But first, I want to talk about that there's a story out of the Epoch Times dealing with China, and that the CIA director, William Burns, has come out and said that China is weighing carefully basically its relationship with Russia and how it wants to be looked at on the world scale, as not only the United States, but Europe is becoming closer together on side of Ukraine, dealing with Russia, and a lot of the atrocities that Russia is now being exposed, that they've been exposing themselves to being committing, that China wants to distance itself from that. Now, while there's this story, there's also the story about China potentially weighing the response of the world and its potential movement on Taiwan. And so it's a balance here for China to see where the world stands of if they're going to allow this. If China were to do something in an aggression towards Taiwan, how would the world respond with sanctions, et cetera? And right now, with the COVID policy that the Chinese Communist Party has, and even in its own docks and its own country, has been very harmful to its economy and really the economy of the world. And so they're weighing those decisions now. And this deals with how our administration is being aware and understanding these situations. And so this ties into some news out of Ukraine and Russia. So May 9th is Victory Day today. You've probably seen the photos about how Russia has had this big parade, you know, reminding them of the old Soviet powers parades that they had in the early 19th century or 20th century, 1900s. But that really, when you study Russian history, is that goes back to the Byzantine Empire. Everybody saying, oh, this is Soviet, reminds them of the Soviet. It goes back further than that. And again, we as Americans sometimes tend to only think in the last 100, 200 years. You have to think they think in the last 1,000, 2,000 years. And so that's really more where it's like. But the news I want to really talk about is you have differing of opinions with Russia and Ukraine. You have the Ukrainian prime ministers and foreign officials saying that, well, Russia is going to announce war, full-fledged war today, which it's really 4:30 p.m. in Kiev right now. So there's been no news of war, and I'm paying attention to Twitter as we speak about whether something's really happening over there. That's really going to be the first place that you're going to hear about. I'm not seeing anything, not saying nothing's happened, but we're not really seeing any news of wars popping off. I mean, an increased aggression than the norm. Then you also have the Russian side saying that, well, no, Ukraine's going to be the one to plot and make the first aggressive move towards us in their potential attack for destroying the Crimean Bridge leading from Russia to Crimea. So you're seeing both sides say pretty much the same thing, blaming each other for something. Now, the reason that's important is, number one, of being aware of the potential outbreak of an even increased conflict and battle. As this last weekend, you saw the fallout of Russians bombing a Ukrainian school that was a converted shelter, killing up to at least 60 that they know of right now, possibly more as they still dig through the wreckage of the bomb. But I want to pull this story up, and I think this is more important than anything we realize, is the fact that coming out news out of Russia, this is from the article I'm pulling up is from Newsmax, but they're quoting the Moscow Times, that the Russian military is pulling troops from Syria and taking troops that would have gone to Syria because of sanctions from Turkey of flying from Russian airspace to Syria, a host of logistics there, that they're taking those troops that would have gone there and have been there and putting them in Ukraine to fight that battle. These are soldiers who have no, what seems like no moral ethics as far as how, when dealing with war. They're all fear and love and war is their mantra, and the atrocities that might come from this are very alarming, something to pay attention to. The reason again, why we want to point this out, as the United States, last night, Biden was on a call with G7 nations about increasing sanctions on Russia, trying to get Europe to completely, this is a big move now, completely sanction and put an embargo on purchasing Russian oil and natural gas. Right now, Hungary is the one country holding up that move from the EU, NATO, et cetera, the G7 nations. They don't want to do it. The U.S. is putting sanctions on American companies, working with Russian companies on business strategies about how to get around all these embargoes, these sanctions, to protect their money, somewhat get it out of America, get it out of these European countries. Potential of trying to get all Russian banks off of the international banking system. There's still a push for that, for the SWIFT. And then the big one from the Biden administration is pretty much sanctioning and limiting the income capabilities of Russian media assets around the world, which they say, you know, have been the big propaganda wing, blocking it from being broadcast into former Soviet bloc, EU, NATO, etc. So this is the response of the Biden administration in this issue. We do have prophetic that we still want to stand on and still walk it out of praying for this administration as they get locked in an arms war. It could be a potential misfire with this conflict. And so we want to pray for this administration to have the fear and the wisdom of the Lord when dealing with the Russia-Ukraine issue. We talked about Israel before. This is all part of it, as Russia is involved with the negotiations of the Iran nuclear deal and then the issue on China, which is now starting to be brought to the forefront as we're seeing them continue to make moves towards putting military assets in the South China Sea, moving them closer towards Taiwan, moving them closer towards Japan, and the conflict that may arise there out of Asia Pacific. So that's just high level things to watch out for this week. Again, and Chuck Pierce has talked about how this could possibly be a 3-year conflict, unfortunately, between Russia and Ukraine, and the issue here, basically Biden's first term presidency. So this is something where I have to continue to walk out, be at peace and understanding where is the Lord wanting us to take steps. What is the Lord wanting us to do, not only in our personal lives, but as far as the administration goes, as we have a directive to pray for them as well. Okay, on to domestic news. So we have to look at what's going to happen this week with the fallout of the Dodds case opinion release. And we're seeing that Chuck Schumer has come out and said that he will put forward a bill on Wednesday to force the hand of U.S. senators to vote on where they stand for abortion rights. And his quote, which I think this is kind of hilarious, he said, "Every American will see how every senator stands." He said, "Republicans can't duck it anymore. Republicans have tried to duck it." And that's actually quite the opposite. In February, a bill was knocked down because Republicans stood up and voted no on doing something pretty much similar. And again, this is as we gear up towards the midterms, they want to make it in the eyes of the voters very aware where each senator stands. Not surprising. I think they'll be kind of shocked to see where Americans actually stand on this. And so this is coming this week. We obviously want to pray for the senators on this issue. But we have the dream that we released in December about Justice Kavanaugh and Roberts being the ones who are on a balance beam, trying to figure out which way they should vote. And if you're looking legally objectively, every lawyer and anybody who looks at the case of how the original Roe case was decided will tell you that Roe was legally flawed. And Justice Alito very much points it out. But we see this weekend with the quote-unquote peaceful protests that they ended up deciding to go to the homes of Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Roberts and Nat Alito as well, Clarence Thomas. Alito is now in, took his family into protective custody and hiding. Very alarming, number one, for somebody who wants to intellectually argue their opinion from the opposite side. But Kavanaugh and Roberts are the more important because this pressure that they did to Kavanaugh when he was confirmed really got to him and his family, and it really did already affect him. And so this could be a strategy that they know works naturally on him and Roberts as well. Roberts is very weak towards the court of public opinion. And so we want to continue to pray for these justices on this issue and interceding for this Golden Court case for life and for the protection of them and the justices and their families, and for them to have peace amongst the storm, specifically for Chief Justice Roberts and Associate Justice Kavanaugh, as they decide what's going to happen, because the decision has not been completely made public yet. Now, obviously, we want to pray. We hope that they would release it now. We need to seek the Lord of whether that is what He would want. Some believe it would be wiser to do that. Some believe it would not. Intellectually, there's an argument to be made either way. But at the end of the day, we want to pray for the Lord to have His wisdom on this issue. Now, you're seeing this week, or more so this weekend, some differing opinions come out about some things that could be the fallout of Roe being turned down. Mitch McConnell, I want to point this story out because Mitch McConnell has said that if Roe is struck down via the courts, that there's a possibility of a national abortion ban being put in place. We want to speak out and say, no, that is a horrible idea. Because over this past year with COVID and all this other stuff, we've been talking about tyrannical government overreach from the left. This would be tyrannical government overreach from the right. While it seems like it's a great idea, he's talking about it as a constitutional matter. It is not a constitutional matter. The Constitution says nothing about this and leaves this up to the states. Because if you're going to let the federal government decide on this, what else can they now decide on? What part of your life can they now get involved in? And look, it's up to the states on this issue. It's not in the Constitution. That's how it's written. Now, if they want to go forward and put forward a constitutional matter with getting a heavy majority voting for it and the people to vote and confirm for it, everybody to go forward with it, that's a different subject. Will that happen? Most likely not. National abortion ban of giving that over that authority over to the federal government. It would be a very highly disastrous move, and something every governor and every person arguing for the decisions of where this decision should be made at, which is the states. Arkansas, I think Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson said it best, where he talked about how nobody's asking for this. So why would McConnell even say this? I think it's just a misguided decision, opinion that was put out there in a USA Today article. And very alarming to see him come out and say that. It just, he's asleep at the wheel. He doesn't know the reality of what this would really mean. And again, look, we stand against all forms of government overreach, whether it's from the left or from the right. And this would be from the right, unfortunately. We want to leave it up to the states, let the states decide, and to really see where these things lie out. And I don't think this has really any merit, but it just, it required some comment. All right. Now I want to move on to this week. Biden tomorrow is projected to make a statement on the state of the economy, dealing with inflation, really gearing up. It's campaigning for the midterms. But I want to kind of take a broader dive and look at this, because there's a report that came out this weekend, yesterday, about how there are power grid operators from California, Texas, and Indiana, and across the country in the Midwest, who are warning of potential outages as we head into the summer, as you're starting to see states and local municipalities shift from a consistent energy resource, whether it be nuclear or gas, coal, to these renewable energies. Now, I want to point this out because want to be aware of the decisions that are coming down the road. And I think it's a Wall Street Journal article. It does a good job of pointing out that there's an issue coming down the road, whether we like it or not. And how states, i.e. like California and Texas, are handling with the renewable energy, it's showing, the facts on the ground are showing, that these sources of energy are not as reliable as once would hoped. Not only that, the technology for them to be reliable is not fully developed. Now, where that leads you and I is the fact that due to unintended consequences from governments, and this all tends to be the case, unfortunately, with governments, is they make policy decisions, they don't fully think them through, they don't realize them, then there are unintended consequences because of those decisions, because the market itself shifts, things happen. And because of the red tape involved, it's hard to maneuver and make the decisions that you need. Now, in this case, if you go towards these renewable energies, now you have to either completely pull out, which that would mean admitting you made a mistake, and the market, or more so these governments, who should be companies, making the decision to do what's best for the people that use this resource. Now, the consumer has no option and no say in this, unfortunately. I mean, you do kind of have the voting box, but at the end of the day, this is the move of where the governments are going. So now you see these governments, these decisions, these companies, states going towards renewable energy, and they need to make, they're going to have to make more and more and more and more and more investments just to try to make this work. They think they have a plan, but it's not fully tested. It's not fully vetted out. And as we're seeing in Germany, it doesn't really hold up in cold weather or warm weather. It's just not enough, which is why they're having a problem with the issue with Russia right now, because they need natural gas from Russia to be able to provide energy and resources that the country needs to survive. So I point this out because, as you see inflation rising in, because of energy rates rising, this is something that we need to pray for leaders in the future to become knowledgeable on and have a plan prepared to what decisions should be made. Should we go down this road of renewable energy, or should we look at alternative options, nuclear energy, stay with coal, natural gas, et cetera? I'm not saying I have the opinion. I'm saying we need leaders who are looking into this, because I think this is something that's going to become even more integral to understand in the days ahead now than ever. Now, with that being said, I do want to point this out, because these are decisions, these are things that we're seeing from the White House that we've been forewarned about going down this path of the Bernie Sanders agenda, which will cripple the next 3 to 4 generations via government stimulus, via having people be more dependent upon federal government for pretty much every resource in life. And the White House just touted a plan that they have come into an agreement with telecom companies via the Affordable Connectivity Program, which provides low-income houses for people who meet certain types of government subsidies and assistance to be able to have taxpayer-funded internet services. And what this means is that you and I are paying for this. Now, they're claiming it's free for up to 48 million households. And before, there were programs like this of this $30, they call it high-speed internet. It's more like dial-up. And it before, if you were part of these programs, you would be eligible to only have to pay $30 for this internet. But now, in some instances, it's $50. It was $50. But now what they're going to do is basically get a free check from the government if somebody is signed up for this as a part of this program. The reason that this is very alarming is because of how this is being funded, and they're being very open with it. It comes from Pell Grants Medicaid, which I thought that was healthcare. And it's, I mean, some type of government assistance, but then also supplemental security, security income. So it's coming from Social Security to an extent. You're talking about how the old estimate was that Social Security would be drained at about 2037. Now you're going to see that timeline shrink, which is very alarming there. Now, the reason I want to point this out is because we have to understand that as more people become more dependent upon the government for everyday resources, the more it's going to be harder for them to be able to pull back. And Chris Reed had a dream about how this would be the thing that people would start rioting over if they want their entitlement checks. They want their government stimulus. And so you're seeing the government inch closer and closer, further down the line, about making the government involved in everyday decisions about people's lives. Now, moving on towards Biden's potential remarks, he tomorrow is most likely going to try to hammer the GOP on its tax plan from Senator Rick Scott about potentially raising taxes on upwards of 75 million Americans. And basically what he wants to do is he wants to prevent people from being able to stay on social government welfare programs, entitlement programs, get them off of it and make them start paying taxes. That's part of the plan. But he's going to try to blame, which is shocking, of we're going to try to lower taxes and things of that nature, which when a Democrat says, I'd always be wary of it because that's literally the opposite of what their party even stands for. And so these are going to be the remarks that he's going to talk about tomorrow, of focusing on that, focusing on how he, again, talked about this last week about how the jobs numbers is he's going to try to claim that as a good thing. In reality, it's kind of middle of the road. He's acknowledging inflation, but he's saying we're going to do something about it. And that's why I pointed back to that story about the free internet, well, taxpayer funded internet for certain households who are on government assistance. And then also talk about the rising gas prices and how we're going to do something about that. We're going to go to this renewable energy, which we have to look at this plan of how – remember when he talked about in March about how when he was going to release, he tapped into the strategic petroleum reserves to quote-unquote help lower gas prices. Well, it's literally done the opposite of that. How – and the AP reported – this out about how over the last 2 weeks, the average U.S. gasoline price has jumped up 15 cents. This is the average to $4.38 per gallon. And in California, it's upwards of $6 a gallon. In Oklahoma, the lowest average is in Tulsa, Oklahoma at $3.80 per gallon. It's about what it is around here. It's starting to click up higher and higher faster. I mean, every day it's like 10 cents higher around here in North Carolina. I know obviously the further as you get towards the South and strategic oil reserves, it gets lower. But where I'm at, it's It's around like $4. I was able to get it for $3.85 yesterday at Costco. But I saw $4.28 half a mile down the road. So it's all over the place around here, but around the country, it's all over the place. And so this plan, the reason I want to point this out is because this plan that the Biden administration has is very alarming. We want to pray for leadership in the administration to stand up, speak out, speak wisdom into this matter, because the policy decisions that they have right now are very, very concerning. And then that speaks to also the fact that the GOP, Mitch McConnell, Senator Rick Scott, they're deferring on this plan. And again, we go back to the fact that Mitch McConnell's plan is to have no plan. You have to vote us in to see what's in their plan, which goes back to what Pelosi did of you had to vote Obamacare into existence, and then you'll see what's in it. A disastrous plan. It's always been disastrous if Republicans try that, or Democrats. And Rick Scott is going off the opinion of biblical principle of without a plan, the people perish. I'm not saying his plan is correct, but he is putting something out there. And I think from Democrats into Republicans, they have to look at what are the decisions being made. Currently, do these decisions benefit taxpayers, American citizens, not just in the short term, but in the long term? And they're really going to have to reassess that, because a lot of the decisions they're making right now are very short-term sighted, and the unintended consequences are causing problems in the long term, which is why we're now sitting at $30 trillion in debt and climbing. So we want to intercede for both Republican, Democratic, congressional, and Senate leaders to stand against this Bernie Sanders spending agenda that the Lord has shown will cripple the next 3 to 4 generations. And these government subsidies towards free internet and all this other stuff, which the issue isn't that the government is helping funding it. The issue is that the government is trying to automatically enroll these people in it and then skip giving the money to the taxpayer, to the person who benefits from it, whereas it's now going to go directly to these internet providers, skipping them and not holding them accountable. And then also, again, allowing them to stay on these welfare programs for eternity. And that's some of the things that need to be dealt with there as well. As we gear towards politicians not understanding the energy issue at hand, and really need wisdom for our leaders in the days ahead, and leaders who understand these situations. Because when you have an energy secretary who doesn't understand how the market itself operates, of not knowing that we can drill here in America to lower the prices and provide the oil that Europe needs, that the United States needs to lower the costs, to prevent this inflation. Biden says it's a noble idea to say he wants to help the American taxpayer lower the costs of things. But we have to look at, okay, now what are the solutions that you're advocating for? Is it helping or is it hurting? And unfortunately, in this situation, they're hurting. It's not to attack the man, it's to attack the idea. It's something we have to really, really be aware of, really be diligent of as we prepare for ourselves this next season. But know that through it all, as we go back towards a midnight intervention, of the Lord can still provide for us, even when we've been enslaved for 400 years, as we saw the Israelites as they came out of Egypt. So all hope is not lost as we put our trust in the Lord and we align ourselves throughout our day with Him and what steps He would have us take now and in the season ahead. So with that, we want to close. Thank you, everyone, for following along today. Don't forget, we have part 2 of our Understanding the Courts of Heaven with Natasha Gerbich from South Africa. If you watched Friday, if you haven't watched Friday, I would go back and watch that before you watch today at noon. It was very, very critical, especially for what's going on with the abortion issue, the intercession for crying out for life, and where authority comes from. It was a really great article. I mean, a really great interview. And today we'll build upon that as well and helping lay the foundations of understanding where our authority comes from as we pray and intercede for life on this matter. So blessings, and we will see you guys later. Have a good one.